memory verse today. So anyway, well, it's great to see you here this morning in the house and those joining us online. Happy Father's Day to you on this beautiful Sunday. We love and appreciate you, all the dads, and trust that you're celebrated appropriately today. I don't know if you saw, this was my Father's Day present here. This is appropriate for the season. It says, best dad ever, happy Father's Day. So anyway, actually it was in response to the Wednesday night homecoming service conversation we had about, Sarah had said, we're bad at picking out presents, and Matt and Becky Rathbone, who have made the masks for the Team Carbondale, she went to pick those up, and they said, we heard what you said. Here's a present for your dad. We made this for him. So thank you, Rathbones, for my Father's Day present. And come on, pick it up a little bit, will you, girls? So anyway, let me take just a minute to just encourage dads everywhere to remain faithful in your calling as a father. There's no higher calling or purpose in your life than to be a dad, if that's what God has called you to be and permitted you to be. And I just encourage you to continue to model for your children what it means to love God and to love and serve and support your family. It seems to be often in America we've suffered the pain and the consequences of a fatherless society. And so dads everywhere, I'm just telling you, man up, will you? And be the godly husband and father that Jesus has called you to be. I encourage you today, you can do this. And young men, if you're planning to marry, then make it your goal to be a godly husband and a godly father. And dad, if you failed at this, well, it's not too late. The Bible says where there's life, there's hope. If you're still breathing, then there's an opportunity for you to make things better or to make things right. It's not too late to start. It's not too late to try again. So do what you need to do, but it's worth the effort. But to all of you, congratulations, and pray you have a wonderful father. So, yeah, they tell me my mic's kind of coming and going. I don't know what's going on. So do you want me to change to something, or... It's up to me, probably. All right, if it gets too weird, somebody will just hand me a microphone, I suppose. So I want to continue some thoughts that I began two Sundays ago, just talking about pandemic perspective, just trying to gain a little perspective in the midst of not only the pandemic, but some of the kind of the social upheaval and the challenges that we're facing in our nation. Bob Dylan sang to my generation, anyway, that the times, they are a-changing, he said. And in the uncertainty of the changes that are occurring and whatever those changes are going to produce long term, I want you to remember three things this morning, three things I want to share. First of all, in seasons of uncertainty and change, remember that He remains the same. And there's comfort in knowing that we serve an unchanging God, and that everything around us may be shifting and changing, but God is the ever constant in our lives. Through the prophet, the Lord declared, "For I, the Lord, do not change." He's the same. In fact, the New Testament declares Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's a constant about Him, a consistency. James says that He doesn't change like shifting shadows. There's nothing that's going to change about Him. And there's such reassurance in that, that His nature and His character remain the same. He is always faithful. He is always holy. He is always merciful. He is always just. He is always loving. He is always with us. The Psalm of Moses, Moses was looking back over a long life when he wrote this, and Moses declared, "Lord, you've been our dwelling place throughout all generations, and from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." From the beginning before eternity and to the end of eternity, of which there is no end, you will be the same, and you are God. And so uncertainty and change, those things are unsettling to us, whether it's for the good or the bad. You know, where you're going to a new job or a new school, or you're facing something in your health or whatever it is, and you don't know how it's going to turn out. That's unsettling, and it produces anxiety. And whether it's for the good or the bad, and all the changes that may be happening in this season of our time in America or in the world, whatever. Time's going to tell whether some of these changes have been for good or bad. But I don't think things are going to ever quite be the same. But I know this, regardless, the Lord is still our dwelling place. And through all the generations, He's still God. And it's not enough to simply know this, but we need to live in light of this, right? We need to live into this. We need to be anchored to this timeless truth and the timeless character of God in a relationship. You say, well, how do we do that? Well, how do you get into any relationship? First of all, with Jesus, we surrender our life to him and make him Savior and Lord of your life. And then, like any relationship, you grow by spending time with a person. You invest time and energy and intent into that relationship. So not many of you would have met somebody for the first time and said, I tell you what, I like you, and I'm going to take a chance on you, and let's go get married. You wanted to at least know something about them, and so you spent a little time. Maybe, you know, back in the day, you wrote letters, or you talked on the phone, or now you just text, or whatever. But you establish a relationship, and then you learn about that person, right? You're figuring out, can I tolerate that person for, you know, or whatever. And so you're growing in a relationship. Well, that's how you grow in a relationship with the Lord. That's how you get to know him. You spend time with the Lord in prayer and in worship, in meditating on him and in his word. And let me just tell you, we need to dig down and plant deep roots in the word of God, because he reveals himself and speaks to us in his word. So we can't, well, I guess you could text your prayers to the Lord, and if you get a response from him by text, let me know. But I tell you, there's a book here that he's written to us, and here's the message to us, and we can read it here, and so we can discover what he says and the principles and the truths that come from the timeless and unchanging God are written here in this timeless and unchanging word. So when we know him, and when we know the wisdom and counsel of his word, then we can find our way forward even in seasons of change. And just let me tell you this, in spite of all the changes and all the stuff going on in the world around us and pandemics and all this stuff, this isn't the first time that we've been down this road on a lot of things. We've been through seasons of change and upheaval a lot of times before in America's history. Civil War and world wars, segregation and injustice of Jim Crow and the tragedies of that era, the unrest of the 60s and Vietnam and the civil rights movement. We've seen assassinations of our leaders and Supreme Court rulings that have rocked our world and reshaped our culture. But you know what? Through it all, God's been our dwelling place. He's been the constant through it all. In all the uncertainty and all the changes, we can rest in the unchanging character and nature of our God, and we can live according to his word. So here's the second thing. In seasons of uncertainty and change, remember that his plans remain redemptive, and that is cause for hope. You see, God's redemptive plan is to save us from sin and its penalty and consequences. Through faith in Jesus and his sacrifice, then the good news is we can be united to God in a new covenant relationship. We can be set free from sin. We're living in a growing relationship with God and with his people, his church, and we're given a new purpose, a new meaning in life. That's his plan for us. And the good news is that none of the changes or the uncertainty of the times in which we live, none of that can halt or change God's plans for us. He is always going to act in redemptive ways in our life. And friends, that means that anything and everything that happens in our life, in our circumstances, in our nation, in our culture, there's still going to be a way forward. And a way to find purpose and meaning, a way to grow in relationship with God and with others, a way to remain, to gain knowledge and understanding, a way to walk in holiness before God, a way to keep the faith and to be salt and light before the world. Dallas Willard wrote, "Nothing irredeemable has happened or can happen to us on our way to our destiny in God's full world." Nothing irredeemable has happened or can happen to us on our way to our destiny in God's full world. Look, we can look back at a lifetime, if you're as old as I am, or you don't even have to be that old, but it helps maybe, to look back with years of experience. That's what Moses was doing at the end of his life when he wrote Psalm 90 and said, "Through all the seasons, through the generations, you've been our God and our dwelling place." And we can look back through our life and realize on some of those moments when you thought, well, it's all over, just throw up your hands and quit, and then what What do you know? God acted in redemptive ways. He turned it around and worked it for our good. He proved himself to be faithful in the midst of that. He showed us that there was a way, even through those difficult circumstances. The Bible says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who've been called according to his purpose. And God's going to continue to work in your life, even in seasons of uncertainty and challenge and change. You say, yeah, but you don't know what's going on in my life or in my world or my family. Or you don't know, you haven't looked, you don't know how bad it is out there. Well, yeah, if you read a few verses down in Romans 8 where Paul said, God's at work in all things, to work for good, read on down there and you'll see some things that Paul was encountering in his own season of uncertainty and change. And so Paul says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Well, that, thank you. So I guess we're switching to this. So he says, hey, listen, you got to admit that's a pretty bad list, right? Okay, I mean, we've got famine and we've got some unrest or whatever, but I don't know about persecution or famine or nakedness or danger. We still got our pants, right? All right, so not nakedness, we've still, and nobody's got a sword coming at us or whatever, so maybe it's not as bad as what Paul was experiencing. He says, for it is written, for your sake we face death all day long, and we're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Well, we're not facing death yet. And then he says, no, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul gives us quite a list there and says, yeah, that's unsettling and it's uncertain. And that's a lot of change, and there's a lot of stuff going on. But Paul operates on that knowledge that, well, whatever's going on, God's plans remain redemptive, and there's cause then for us to be hopeful in spite of everything else. Folks, that's redemption in action right there, that every moment, in every event, in every circumstance, in every season, God's love is present and active. And in that same chapter, chapter 8 of Romans, Paul says, because we were predestined to be made conformable to the image of Christ. All of this, he's going to work it for good so that we can be like Jesus and we'll reflect his character and his nature in the world. And when we stop to consider all that, then we can step back and think, then you know what? There is still hope in spite of everything else. Let me hear what I'm telling you this morning. You can count on this, that God loves you and he's going to work in redemptive ways in your life. He's going to work through your circumstances in ways that'll give you an opportunity to discover him for who he is and how he works in your life. He'll reveal himself to you and you'll discover ways that are ultimately going to bring honor and glory to him. He's going to work in ways that'll cause us to marvel at his faithfulness and his abundant mercy. He'll work in ways that'll cause us to testify of his wonderful works to others, and nothing on earth can stop or separate his love from us. That's the good news. And most of you can say, boy, there was a day when I thought it was all over, and then what do you know? God turned that around. That was the best thing that ever happened. Or I got fired off the job and I was ready to just jump off the bridge, but you know what? The next week I got the greatest job I've ever had. Or I thought my life was over because she broke up with me and then I met the girl of my dreams or whatever, you know. And not only that, but she was heir to a fortune. I mean, I don't know what your story is. You know, I'm just telling you that God continues to work in redemptive ways and he'll prove himself faithful over and over and over and over again. Every twist and every turn, he was right there with us. He was there with us and we discovered it. We discovered his faithfulness and his involvement in our lives. So we look at the circumstances and think it all looks impossible. We stop and think, how in the world can God redeem this situation and all this? How is God going to work this for good? How can he move us forward in this? Well, remember what Job discovered after all of his stuff that he went through. He said, I know, Lord, that you can do all things and no plan of yours can be thwarted. That's a word we don't use much. In other words, no plan can be messed up beyond what you can redeem. He's going to work it out. And we look around and think everything's falling apart. My word to you this morning is look with eyes of hope.
because God is still at work in redemptive ways. And if we'll remain obedient and surrendered to Him, if we will trust and obey, if we'll keep loving Jesus and loving others, if we'll act justly and love mercy and walk humbly with our God, as the Word says, He'll keep on redeeming our circumstances and causing all things to work together for our good. Let me say it again. There is a way forward, and God is at work in all of our circumstances and our lives. And friends, that gives us hope. God is at work. Our nation is having to have some hard but needed conversations about race and justice and equality. And I'm praying for something good to come out of all this and out of the conversation and out of the protest. We're going to see God begin to work and to move us forward as a nation and as a church and with greater justice and greater equity and equality. I'm hopeful for greater unity and understanding and awareness for us all. Some wise person said, when it looks like things are falling apart, with Jesus, things are actually falling together. They're falling in place. God's redeeming things and moving us forward. God is at work, and we can trust Him. Do you believe that this morning? Yeah, I don't want you to, are you? Okay, all right, then stay with me here. From the pandemic to protests to racial injustice and inequality or economic disaster, unemployment to whatever, the confusion and lawlessness and everything that seems to be spreading in places, there's trouble everywhere. And we saw that in our memory verse, whatever. Many of the afflictions of the right, a lot of trouble or whatever. But listen, there's hope in Jesus because He is at work in redemptive ways. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. And let me remind you, if you lose sight of Jesus in this, then you've lost hope. Then you lose your way. If you lose sight of Jesus, boy, there's some days you just have to turn off the TV and put your phone down and get off social media and look to Jesus, because everything else has convinced you that it's hopeless and you just want to run out into the night somewhere, be eaten by the coyotes that are out behind my house somewhere. Listen, don't look to CNN or Fox News or social media. Look to Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Right? It's what the Bible says. The writer of Hebrews said, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I'm telling you, if you're not looking at Jesus, you'll grow weary and you'll lose heart. You got to keep your eyes fixed on Him. He's the one who is at work, the perfecter of our faith. He's the one that's helping us to grow, and He's discipling us. He's maturing us and making us the people that He's calling us to be. Don't grow weary. Don't lose heart. Keep your eyes on Jesus. It's like Peter walking on the water. Remember, Jesus came walking in the night on the Sea of Galilee, and Peter said, first they were frightened, and then Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. Tell me to come. And Jesus says, come on. And Peter climbs out of the boat, and the Bible says that he began to walk towards Jesus as long as he was keeping his eyes on Him. But the Bible says, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried, Lord, save me. As long as your eyes are on Jesus, it's good. But when you take your eyes off of Him and start looking at the wind and the waves and you realize where you are, you know, then, yeah, you're sunk. It's like all the cartoons where the guy runs off the edge of the cliff, the coyote or whatever, does that little, and then he sinks down or whatever. Like, no, just keep your eyes on Jesus, right? You'll know where you are. You're going to be all right. Keep your eyes on Jesus and don't start looking at the wind and the waves and all this. Just keep your eyes, keep moving towards Jesus. And that brings me, I know you're stunned by this. It's 11:34. That brings me to the last point. In seasons of uncertainty, there's a hearty amen right there. In seasons of uncertainty and change, the church must speak up. It's time for the church to speak up. And I hear a lot of preachers, and there's some social media platforms or groups or whatever of different preachers or whatever, and so I look at some of those or whatever. I hear a lot of preachers that use that kind of language. It's time for the church to speak out. But then I'm a little troubled by what I hear them saying sometimes. Yeah, the world needs to hear what the church has to say, but the church needs to make sure that we're saying what Jesus has said. The church needs to be spreading the message of the gospel, that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but could have everlasting life. The world wants answers to their questions, and the church needs to respond with the truth of God's word. But too often what I hear sometimes is condemnation and accusation and judgment and demeaning others and blaming others and demonizing others, and it's these people and that group and that political party and all that stuff. And friends, that's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. The world doesn't need to be told they're going to hell. They've got a pretty good handle on it. They need to hear the gospel. They need to know about Jesus and the truth of his word. I'll just be honest, I don't watch much Christian television because, well, it doesn't matter why. But anyway, but I was thinking about all this, and so I watched, I probably saw 15 or 20 minutes. I just flipped between a couple of programs the other day. One that was supposed to be about revival, and I watched a little bit, and I don't know who that guy was, but mostly what he was saying was that we were stupid for wearing masks and listening to the news. And so I went from there to another one, and pretty much they were just saying the government's trying to shut down the churches and we're going to need money to stay on the air. And then there was a prophetic word, and it was all about the nation. But you know what? In the period of time that I listened, I never heard anybody even say the name of Jesus. I never heard anybody have any good news. We're all going to hell and we're going to have to turn it around. They never told me the gospel. They never told me how to find Jesus and all that. They didn't, as I said, they didn't even mention his name. I didn't hear hope. I didn't hear anything. It was just troubling to me. Listen, telling the world they're going to hell and then acting like you're happy to send them on their way, that's not the gospel, right? That's not what we're supposed to be about. I always think of Gail Irwin. I remember him preaching about Jonah one time, and Jonah went to Nineveh to tell them, God says you're going to die and you're going to be lost because you're in sin or whatever. And the whole nation, the people of Nineveh, they repented. They put sackcloth and ashes, repented and asked God to forgive them, and it angered Jonah. And I remember Gail saying, I can just imagine, because the Bible says Jonah went up and sat down on a hill underneath a vine or whatever that grew up and died. And he said, I can imagine a mom and her little daughter walking by, and the little girl says, Mom, who's that man? And she says, that's the man of God, honey. And she says, why does he look so angry and mad? And she says, because God didn't kill all of us and send us to hell like he hoped. Listen, it's good news. That's what gospel is. The gospel is good news, friend. The world needs some good news. They need to know that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. They need to know that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Because the next verse says, because God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's the good news. That's what the church needs to speak up about. Speak up about Jesus. Testify about Jesus. Tell people about Jesus. Here's what the Apostle Paul told the church. He said, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. So Paul's message was that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, even to the Gentiles and not just the Jews. It was a message of good news for the world. And he says, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should, and be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, and outsiders meaning those who are not of the faith, those that don't know Jesus as Savior and Lord. They don't know the gospel. Make the most of every opportunity to present Jesus. Folks, the church will end up, if we're not careful, we'll squander the opportunity to bring Jesus to people with bringing a lot of unnecessary stuff. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt. I remember as a young preacher reading that, thinking, yeah, full of grace, but seasoned with, you want a little spice in there. You want to, you know, still kind of rub a little salt into the wound so it'll sting a little bit, so they'll want to run down there. Listen, salt was a preservative, but salt was a valuable commodity in the ancient world. That's where that phrase comes from. That guy, is he worth his salt? Because payment was made to Roman soldiers with salt. All right, so he was worth his salt because he was worth the work. He brought value to something. I think Paul was saying, let your words add value. Let your words answer the questions of those who don't know Jesus. Be able to give an account for the hope that you have in the midst of uncertain and changing times. It's time for us to speak hope and to bring Jesus to people and to add value to what the conversation is by pointing people to Jesus. It's time for us to speak hope. Hallelujah. That's the good news. I worry sometimes because there are a lot of places where the church spends a whole lot of time condemning the world and condemning other parts of the church that they don't think they're holy enough or whatever else. Let's just speak up and speak out about Jesus, all right? Let's just trust him and let's just keep pointing people to Jesus. Let's speak words of hope and comfort. Paul writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." Somebody said, "I bet you can't work comfort into the sentence four times." And Paul said, "Oh, I bet you I can. Watch this." The God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can in turn comfort others who are in the same kind of trouble. We can bring the same kind of comfort that God brought to us. Listen, if the times are unsettling to us, people of faith, if the times are troubling and fearful and are producing feelings of hopelessness sometimes in the church, I think the world must be feeling it too. And so the church needs to speak up and bring hope and bring comfort and bring words of peace and encouragement by telling people about Jesus. Listen, the church needs to let people know you don't have to live in fear. Let me tell you about Jesus. And let me tell you about what he's done for me and what he's promised to all who will put their hope and trust in him, because he's able to forgive and he's able to cleanse and he's able to give you hope and life and a future and a purpose in your life. He'll bring hope and comfort and peace to your heart. Let's share the reason for our hope. Let's love others. Let's serve others. Let's weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. Let's come alongside others and show we're Christians by our love. I heard Philip Yancey said, you know, medical doctors take a vow to do no harm. He said, I think the church ought to take that vow. We'll be the church that does no harm. We won't harm people with our attitude or with our words. Instead, we'll be salt and light. We'll bring light to the darkness. We'll bring salt. We'll add value to others and to every conversation. And the way we're going to do that is to keep lifting up Jesus in word and in deed. We're going to live and act in ways that honor him and obey him. And I believe God will help us then to make the most of every opportunity to bring hope to the world. It's an unsettling time. It's a changing time. But it can be the church's finest hour if we'll just keep pointing people to Jesus and letting them know that there's hope. Hope to be found in him because he continues to act in redemptive ways. Let's pray this morning. So, Lord, I thank you for an opportunity this morning for us to talk about Jesus and to point others to you. And, Lord, I pray for Carbondale. I pray that we can be a faithful church that's always pointing others to you and giving testimony for the reason, for the hope that we have in our hearts, even in an unsettling and a changing time. Maybe especially in an unsettling and a changing time. Help us to speak up and to speak out about Jesus. Help us to remember, Lord, that you are at work in redemptive ways, that you haven't given up on us, you haven't given up on this planet, you've not given up on this nation or this city. And if you're still at work, then that means there's still cause for hope. And so, Lord, fill us with hope today and let us be emissaries, messengers of that hope. Let us be representatives and ambassadors of a kingdom of hope and a kingdom of life and a kingdom of righteousness and peace. Help us, Lord, to remain focused on you, because our help and our hope comes from the Lord. And help us to rest in the certainty of your unchanging character and your unfailing love and your amazing grace. Lord, you are our refuge and our strength, and because of that, we will not be afraid. Grant us wisdom. Grant us power. Grant us peace, Lord, to stand and to be the church that you've called us to be, to take every opportunity and to bring good news to others, Lord. Lord, I pray for all that are in the house this morning, all that are watching. Maybe there's somebody that says, you know, I've been to church in a long time, and I don't know about God's redemption or any of that stuff you're talking about, but I know I'm frightened, and I know I feel kind of hopeless, and I know I'm just I don't know, just I don't even know how to explain the way I feel about everything that's going on in our world. I don't know where to turn, but you're telling me to turn to Jesus. That's what I want to do. And Lord, the Bible makes it pretty simple. It says to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that you died for us. And that if we'll call on the name of the Lord, we'll be saved. And so, Lord, for that one or two or three or a dozen or whoever, Lord, I pray that they would just open their heart to you right now. Just say, Lord, I believe that this is the truth. I believe, Jesus, that you're the Son of God and that you died for me and that you'll save me and give me life. And so I ask you to come into my heart and life. Save me. Jesus, I need you today. I don't have enough hope. Bring me hope. Lord, I'm frightened. Bring me peace, Lord. Lord, I feel unloved and abandoned. Lord, come and love away the hurt and the wounds and that sense of abandonment. Lord, somebody just feels so desperate today. They're watching or listening today. Lord, would you just give them calm and peace in the midst of that desperation? There may be somebody that not only do they feel desperate, they've been contemplating a desperate move. They've been thinking of harming themselves or just running away or abandoning something, Lord, that today you're calling them to a place of surrender, a new place of trust and commitment. And so, Lord Jesus, speak to their hearts today with hope and peace. Remind them that you love them and that you're still acting in redemptive ways. You'll turn this around. We'll put our trust in you and you'll turn this around. Listen, wherever you are, hear what I'm telling you today. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Not today. Not today. Put your trust in Jesus. Keep looking to him. He's acting in redemptive ways. He'll turn this around for you in your circumstances. There's reason to hope because God works. He works in ways to perform his goodwill, and he's got good plans for you. He's going to turn this around. You can trust him today. Lord, I thank you for that. Let that word encourage somebody's heart today. Help us, Lord, to be salt and light and to let your words and your life shine through us so that we can bring value to others. Let us keep speaking for Jesus and share the hope that we have in you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen, amen. Well, you that are in the house, why don't you stand this morning? And to all of you, thanks for being a part of this. Thanks for joining us today. Happy Father's Day to you. Whether you're here in this building or you're watching somewhere else, you're part of a church. You're part of a place that's filled with his healing and hope and laughter and peace. So be encouraged today and let me bless you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for watching. Happy Father's Day. We'll see you next time. Amen. If you've got an offering for the church, information desk, you can leave it there. The rest of you can give some other way. Stay tuned for some announcements that'll play for you that are watching. Bless you. Hey, Pastor Phil, Pastor Sarah here with some announcements for this week. We want to say, first of all, thank you for watching today online at 9 or 10:45, or some of you are in the house, and we want to thank you for participating, for worshiping with us at Carbondale Assembly of God.
And we also want to say happy Father's Day to all of the fathers there. Happy Father's Day to you.
This is the card.
Okay, it's official. Thanks. Love, thanks. Sarah. So, yeah. But, hey, thanks again, fathers, for all that you do and for participating in our services today, again, either online or in person. And speaking of parents, we do have some information.
Yeah, so last Sunday we said we were hoping to have an announcement today about Art Park and Carbondale Kids. We were hoping to be able to say, hey, here's our launch date for that. But with the rise in cases of COVID-19 in Tulsa County and in our community, we just felt we want to err on the side of caution. We want everybody to be safe. And so we're just going to have to wait a little longer
and we're watching those numbers, and we want to be cautious. So we're doing everything we can to keep everybody safe. So stay, hang in there with us, and we'll get it all opened up.
So for the time being, our 10:45 service online and in person will remain our family service. So we encourage young families to be there at 10:45 or to be gathered around the screen in your home at 10:45 to participate in that service. And I just have to say, for those that have been attending in person, the kids have been absolutely fantastic.
They really have. Oh, yeah. No, it's been special to just see the families kind of gather there, and the kids are usually down on the floor. But it's been a blessing. So thanks, moms and dads, for loving your kids and bringing them to church and let them participate in worship.
We can't say enough good things about our ARC Park and our Carbondale kids who have been in service with us in person.
And we've had a great VBS this week. Our virtual VBS has just been excellent. It's been great to see the kids sharing their memory verse and doing their crafts and things people have shared online. So thanks for participating and being a part of that.
And for our teenagers, we have youth camp coming up next month in July. And to register your student to attend that youth camp, go to cagtulsa.com/events. And we would love for them to be able to participate at that site. You'll be able to find the information about cost, about dates, about all the information that they need to know. And also that our special speaker is Alan Griffin. So we are so excited for him to be there to speak to our students and then speak to us that Sunday morning after camp.
He's going to be our special guest on that Sunday morning as well. He was here last year, I think it was, and spoke on a Sunday morning, and just, man, he blessed our church. And so we so look forward to having Alan Griffin with us in July as our speaker for youth camp, as well as our guest on a Sunday morning.
So I know things have been a little bit different right now, but we want you to know, Carbondale family, that your students and your kids and your littlest ones are still so important to us at Carbondale. We want to be a place of healing, hope, laughter, and peace to all the people, and that includes our students and our kids. So thanks for hanging in there with us. We're trying, but we're just so pleased that you continue to participate in all of the online activities that we've continued to offer for your kids.
Yeah, so keep watching, participate Wednesday night with all the online stuff, new community, homecoming. Of course, Pastor Jeff is there live with the students. But anyway, we love you. Happy Father's Day to you. And look forward to seeing you in one of those ways, online or in person, in the days ahead.